This episode is brought to you by Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Uncover one of history's greatest mysteries in Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, a first-person single-player video game set between Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Last Crusade.
The year is 1937. Sinister forces are scouring the globe for the secret to an ancient power, and only one person can stop them. Indiana Jones!
Do I enjoy Indiana Jones? I may have done a cosplay of me in a refrigerator surviving a nuclear bomb. Yes, I do. Adventure Calls, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, out now on Xbox Series X and S, Game Pass, and PC. Rated T for Teen, copyright and trademark 2024, Lucasfilm Limited, all rights reserved.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable. This episode, Wicker Wade heckles Hoctua, disses Diablo, and debates the deterioration of downtime distractions. Mortifying Mark loves boxers, then adeptly identifies the issue is egregious ego and potentially player purchases. Baleful Bob samples socks, questions ethics, and claims that commercialization has crippled the creative criteria. From breathable balls to sweet proteins. Yes! It's time for What's Wrong with Video Games? Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Distractable. I'm today's host, Pete. Why? Because I won the last one. Joined as always by my co-hosts, Mark and Bob. Hello, men. How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
It is cold in Cincinnati. We have had like the coldest November, start to December. I remember school got canceled because of cold in early December. That like never happened. That's like February weather. It's like wildly cold right now. I hate it.
You know where it's warm? Inside.
Inside where?
I mean, inside anything, anywhere, any place that's inside. Probably pretty warm. I got parts that are warm.
All right.
Hey, he's writing down a point. He's giving me warm points.
I've got warm parts. I got lots of warm parts. You want to feel some? I'll let you feel some.
You use your right hand for Mark and your left hand for me and just start reaching. See who's warmer.
Yeah, I bet I'm warmer. I bet I'm.
You guys ain't never had a friend like me.
That's a callback, right there. Give yourself a callback point.
Oh, why not?
Man, I don't think Wade's ever earned a point when he hosts. He always like loses 6 points.
It is very rare, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How you guys doing? How's life? How's things?
Good.
Life is good. It's about
to have a change.
Huh?
I have a big sweeping change that I just am bursting at the seams. My entire life I have been led astray. My entire life.
Uh-oh. You figured it out, Bob.
What was it?
Nothing. Go on.
Go on?
My entire life I've been lied to. I've been slandered. I've been some other word that is also like this. I made a fundamental difference in my life that has benefited me beyond anything I could ever have dreamed of. For years and years and years, I've been lied to that boxer briefs are the superior form of underwear. This is a lie. This is a lie that has been perpetuated and I will not stand for it anymore. As it turns out, briefs, tidy whities, no leggies, whatever you want to call them underwear, that is the superior form of underwear. It is infinitely more comfortable. I never have any of the legs bunching up when I put my pants on, when I'm walking around. There ain't no chafing because there's nothing to chafe. There's no bunching up. There's no nothing. It is so freeing. It is so wonderful. I thought it would take me forever to get used to. Turns out life needed to get used to me now that I've made this change. Are you throwing up? I thought it was trying to throw up.
I had to sneeze.
He was just puking. Yeah, all right, okay, all right, man. This should be like that.
I'm not even going to dispute you, Mark, except for people like me with very large legs, I got to have the leg parts.
Thought you were going with the dick.
No, I have a very normal sized penis. Don't worry about it. But my leg is probably as big around as Mark's torso is. I'm enormous and my legs are enormous. And if I don't have the pants parts, my legs just like start a little fire anytime I walk anywhere or do anything. It's very miserable. But you're right. That's why boxers are terrible and why boxer briefs are better, because you get a little bit of the world that briefs allow you to live in. Because I don't know how anyone could live in boxers. Especially knitted boxers where they're not like stretchy or whatever. It's like your junk is living in a cave. It just flops around. It's like you've got your junk loose in the trunk of a car and you're driving around a racetrack at full speed. It's terrible. But some of us do need the briefs part of the boxer, or the boxer part of the boxer briefs. But I think you're right.
I'm team boxers.
You wear normal boxers?
You wear boxers? Just straight up boxers?
I do. Now, to be fair, I've not tried wearing boxer briefs and I don't know how long. It's been a very long time. I've just worn boxers since like high school. And I think the only reason I ever changed was because it was the cool thing to do. And I was just like, whatever. And I wear basketball shorts and boxers and it's just kind of freeing good airflow. But I've not tried briefs or boxer briefs in a long time. So maybe I need to give them another shot.
I will say modern textiles have changed the nature of briefs and boxer briefs in a substantial way.
I just couldn't go through high school and being like part of the men's locker room in briefs or else I would have gotten the shit kicked out of me. So I had to go team boxer.
That's the thing. That's the lie. That's the lie that perpetuates. Because I had boxer briefs forever because of that lie. Because I was like, oh, he's got tiny whities. Why is that even a joke?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why I had to switch back then. And I haven't gone back.
They're so comfortable. Oh, we need an underwear sponsorship.
They do that. There are companies that do that.
Didn't we have one?
Way back, I think we had one, yeah.
I don't know if they had just briefs. I don't know if they had that.
This wasn't a sponsor, but I have to say the new modern like athletic textile stuff, whole new world. And I can't recommend highly enough Duluth Trading Company. There happens to be one in Cincinnati, but you can also order them online. Their materials that they use for their boxer briefs, outstanding. Top notch. Can't recommend them highly enough. Not a sponsor, not paid. I buy them with my own hard earned money.
It is probably right that if this was just pure like cotton, which, you know, some are, but this is like some kind of composite with like some stretchy materials in it and like breathable materials. It's very nice, whatever this is made of. And it may not have been the same story like 20 some years ago.
Regular old stanky cotton tidy whities from middle school. Not good. Modern briefs. Top notch.
So I like them. I'm all about it.
Fair.
I had small talk and I don't even care anymore. I'm excited about this. I never get to brag about my underwear.
I don't think I do either. I've not really thought about it because I've just worn boxers for years because after junior high, I think I switched because I joined the basketball team and I was like, I can't be caught in there with my briefs.
Because that's exactly what it was all my life. And then I finally was like, well, I've worn through all of my pants and now I'm wearing through all of my underwear. I need to get new ones. So I was like, I looked up and I literally just was trying to find out what the most comfortable was. And everyone was saying the specific brand that I bought, the brief style of it, so freeing, so underweary. It's great.
All right, well, fair enough.
That's why I'm so confident today.
You do seem like a different man. So there's something. I didn't realize that's what it was, but there was something.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, did you want to have your small talk? Or are you just content?
What did I have to talk about?
I'm also already unsure what I gave you your point for, Mark, or not Mark, Bob. You made a joke or something, warm something, and I already can't read what I wrote.
I got warm parts inside me, something like that.
Parts. Okay, because it looks like I wrote warm pub. That makes more sense. Parts. I won't correct anything, so I'll be confused at the end again, but just wanted to double check.
Yeah, no, don't change that. Just leave that the way it is. You'll remember.
One day I'll auction off my scorecard here, so that way I can pay for some plumbing.
Nah, that's going to stop, buddy. Don't worry about it. To compliment Mark's underwear, I'm on the quest for socks. My socks taste is changing. I used to wear no-shows, and I've learned by being a person on the internet that that's not cool anymore. No-show socks are cringy.
Like these?
So cringe.
Those aren't as cringe as lower cut no-show because those are like low ankle, but low crew cut is really what you want. And I'm on a journey right now. I've been buying like one new pair of different brand of socks every time I need to replace a pair. I'm not done yet. So if anyone out there has magical, mystical sock recommendations, I'm trying things.
I just bought some because I'm also upgrading all my socks as well. Is this the most boring episode ever?
Listen, we're going to talk about whatever the fuck we want. This is our show.
This is small talk. Don't worry. This topic, they're going to be flying in.
It's going to be some philosophy shit or something, isn't it?
Okay. So again, not sponsored, but I heard recommendation that Darn Tough Socks was pretty good. So I'm ordered from there and they're coming in. Socks are harder because socks need to be very specific. I'm very glad that the ankle sock trend is going away because I've never liked them. I don't like feeling my pants legs rubbing against my ankles. I don't like the shoes rubbing against my ankles. I like the coverage. And yeah, I've always been a crew guy.
I've started wearing, like, I wear Brooks shoes because I had a lot of foot pain for a while and Brooks are just super padded, at least this one kind I was getting. But lately, I got a pair of Hey Dudes for like a family photo thing. And I've actually been really enjoying the Hey Dudes, but they are kind of low. So like my socks still stick out over them. But I've been the Hey Dude phase of my life right now, which kind of makes me remind me of my grandpa at some point in life stopped wearing tie shoes and just got like Velcro, like Reeboks he wore everywhere.
Dude, slip-ons are kind of where it's at.
I've never done the slip-on thing till now, but now I'm kind of like, oh, for winter, like taking the dogs outside when it's like fucking 3 degrees or whatever it is right now, having some slip-ons where I'm not wearing flip-flops out in the freezing cold. I'm still wearing my shorts because like can't change everything at once, but slip-ons are nice. Any more small talk bits?
Yeah, actually, I got a news story. What's the name of the guy who runs like OpenAI? Well, runs OpenAI, Sam Altman or something like that.
Wasn't Sam Altman the guy who was at FTX?
You're right. Anyway, that's the same person in my mind.
The crypto guy.
Anyway, headline, OpenAI continues its mission of, quote, ethical AI by partnering with a killer robot company. That's the headline.
Do they really get to say that that's their mission? Like, I have no ammunition to fire at OpenAI, but they're a for-profit company now, right? Or are they transitioning to a for-profit company? They just aren't. If they do that, if they become, because they were a nonprofit, if they become a for-profit company, or if they have already done that, they're not doing ethical AI, they're doing profitable AI. That's by definition, their motive is changed from we're a nonprofit doing ethical things to we're a for-profit company maximizing profits, doing whatever the hell is necessary, as long as it's legal and maybe ethical. They just get to say that? That seems crazy to me.
Yeah, and if you want to know about maybe ethical, they partnered with Anduril Industries, a defense contractor co-founded by Oculus founder Palmer Luckey. Their mission statement, please cue up the patriotic music.
Oh, wait, we got editors.
The editors got this. The editors got this. The editors got this. Their mission, transforming defense capabilities with advanced technology. The battlefield has changed. How we deter and defend needs to change too. Security threats are... You all right there? Okay. Yeah,
just forgot that we had editing for a minute. Sometimes you feel like you're out on an island by yourself here in the podcasting world.
No, not with Anduril Industries. Security threats are evolving at machine speed. To keep pace, Anduril puts products ahead of process and builds technology to bring the United States and partners quantum leaps ahead in capability. I always want my military equipment products ahead of process. Way ahead.
You don't want to worry about researching anything. You want to build the best product you can and get it out there ASAP. Also, I just want to say I'm an ignorant piece of shit. Sam Altman is the head of OpenAI. Sam Bankman-Fried is the crypto guy.
Well, isn't he in jail or going to jail or something?
Something like that. He's in big trouble.
Yeah, he's in jail.
Sam Altman is in charge of OpenAI.
I feel like every crypto guy ends up in trouble eventually.
What? No.
Wasn't there news about Hawk Tua girl maybe doing a pump and dump with a coin or something? People were accusing her of that.
Rug pull. Listen, this is all alleged. These are alleged.
Yeah, these are all, I don't know for a fact. I just saw it.
We're not journalists or anything, but yeah, no, CoffeeZilla like confronted them on a live thing on Twitter Spaces or whatever the hell it's called. And it would appear they may have done textbook sort of rug pull potentially. Maybe.
I feel like we really missed the boat on this crypto coin thing. We could have had a coin. We could have rug pulled everybody. And here we are.
Wait, you and I need to launch Anne Friend's coin ASAP. We need to all get some people in. We need to.
Mark, we need you to invest in this coin.
Yeah, well, tell me more. I'm very interested.
You give us money. You make it eventually, probably, maybe.
No, we don't even need to take Mark's money. That's the thing with crypto. You can take money out of the pockets of the fools who think you're reputable and.
Listeners.
Yeah, them. Those people. Yeah, we love those guys. We need to buy some grift coin right now.
Viewers, there's a special message just for you. Listeners, you go get that coin.
To get back to what Mark was talking about, that sounds very ethic-ish.
I think my suggestion to Mark a few episodes back about collecting battle bots might be a bit more relevant now that there's going to be killer bots.
Oh, yes. Because according to them, the arsenal we need is an order magnitude more than we can build at present to maintain peace and deter war.
Was it Iron Man 2 where the one dude was like, build me some bots, and the other dude was like...
Are you talking about Hammer Tech?
Had a whip. Yeah, Hammer Tech guy.
Talk about Sam Rockwell plays, what's his name? Something Hammer. Armin Hammer, I think. Armin Hammer goes and rescues Wipinski out of Russian jail. Then they crash a Formula One race or some shit like that.
See, that's the kind of recap that makes sense to me. And then he dances and his robots don't listen to him. It's a whole mess. Thank God for Donnie Hark or whatever his name was last episode.
You talking about the end of Gamer when he dances in the other?
I've got you under my skin.
Are you talking about Real Steel where he's all, you watch me, you watch me. And then he wins the fight with boxing.
I forgot Gamer's the one with the Dexter guy, right? I forget the actor's name.
Yeah, Mr. Morgan.
I've got you under my skin thing, yeah.
I thought Gamer was Gerard Butler.
Well, it is, but he's the good guy.
Oh, okay.
Dexter plays the guy who made the video game or whatever.
So what's his name? Michael C. Hall? Is that Dexter?
Yeah.
Gamers.
Who brought up Gamers? Is that you, Mark? You get a segue point.
Did you know that Michael C. Hall sings in a band? I don't know if he actively does it, but there are videos of him. He's the
You can go and see Hall.
Give yourself a point. Give yourself a point.
Dude, I'm winning.
Give yourself a point.
Okay, man.
Give yourself a point.
It's funny now. I was hurt. Now I'm laughing.
I laughed.
You know what's funny? Oh, this is small talk. What are we doing? I realized this recently because Disney movies. You know how I do that voice, the mocking voice? Don't you mean the rubbery? Did you mean the rubbery? That bit. I don't know if this is the origin of it, but I realized where I got that from. It's actually from the movie Monsters, Inc.
I've never seen that whole movie.
There's a scene in the beginning of the movie where there are characters in a locker room, and one of them, the guy voiced by, what's his name? Crazy Teeth. All I can think of is Belushi, but that's not the guy.
Gary Busey?
No, the guy from Boardwalk Empire.
Steve Buscemi
voices this character, and he's like talking, and he's like, shh, 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 do you hear that? That is the winds of change. And then he walks away, and Mike Wazowski is all, do you hear that? Do you hear the winds of change? That's totally where I got that bit from. Every time I do that, that's what I think of. So
I have a habit of doing saying, yeah, okay, when people say things, which is the Geico commercial when they're like, why don't we get in the running car? Are you crazy? Let's go hide behind those chainsaws. Yeah, okay.
Oh.
I mimic that one line from that stupid commercial. Shout out to them, I guess.
Shout out to that commercial.
Hey, dude, that yeah, okay, has stuck with me since I first saw it.
That does come up a lot.
I just said it today. We were, I was driving to the airport, and I don't remember, someone like cut me off or whatever, and they waved, like I let them in. It's like, yeah, okay. Like, I don't know, I just do that.
You cut someone off and then went, okay.
No, they cut me off, and then they waved like I let them in. Like, they nearly wrecked into me, forced me to slam my brakes, and they waved like, thanks for letting me in. Like, yeah, okay.
Wade is that guy. Wade is one of the racers from that opening scene of Fast and Furious. He drives past the one guy and he's all, Monica! And Wade's like, you okay? And drives away. It's the nitrous.
Okay, yeah. You okay?
Is there a topic for this episode, or?
I'm gonna get there eventually. I gave Mark a segue point like 5 minutes ago for the movie Gamer, because today's episode is, what's wrong with video games?
How old are we? What happened?
This is not about like what's wrong with video games societally. It's just been like, specifically, here's what I'm thinking. Diablo 4 had a rough launch, and it got better, and it got better, and then they had a DLC drop, and it just feels like a lot of the better, they kind of undid again, and it just, I want to play, I want to love it, but man, it's roller coaster in me. And as we're filming this, Path of Exile 2 is about to come out, and Path of Exile kind of had Diablo 3 by the balls. I mean, Diablo 3 ended up as a great game. I think Diablo 3 ended up as a great game by the end, but it took 5-6 years to get there. Path of Exile just came out, seemed like a passion project. People loved what they were doing. They wanted to make a fun game that was like a reference to, you know, Diablo 2 and other ARPGs and stuff. Great game. And they've continued to support it. They've continued to just do great things with it. It's very popular. People enjoy it. I never hear anything bad said about Path of Exile. And 2 comes out very soon. And it seems like all of the hype is up for that. And I've seen some interviews with the guy that's making it. And he was talking about some decision-making things. He's like, look, actually what Diablo 4 has been doing is actually very difficult. Some of the stuff that they're doing, it makes sense that it's a struggle because what they're doing is challenging to make. And we decided, why do the hard stuff whenever we can do easier stuff that makes more content that people like and isn't as difficult to do, which was kind of like taking a shot at them, but also like giving them credit for doing hard work. I'm kind of in a weird spot myself as a gamer. I still play video games quite often, but I've been bouncing between games a lot lately, and it just made me wonder, like, man, I played Diablo 2 for like 10 straight years. I played Diablo 3 for like 10 straight years. I cannot stick with a game anymore. And I don't know if that's an age thing. I don't know if I just need to find a new hobby, or is something wrong with the video games themselves? So what is wrong with video games?
I'll tell you what's wrong. This is what I really actually think. This is very true. I was going to start off as a big dramatic bit. I think the problem with video games is that so many people in the creative driver's seat of video games are people that wanted to make movies
and are instead in charge of making games, or they're put in a position where they're making games. And you have this expectation that a AAA game must have almost a movie level of cinematography and acting and a bunch of actors in there and all this cool stuff. And I'm not saying that a good story isn't part of a good game, but in a lot of these higher end titles, I'm not saying Diablo 4 is following this because it's like, it is a bit different, and Blizzard's always done really cool cinematics that I do appreciate.
Yeah, they've got a great, they've got a couple great cinematics in 4.
They probably got the greatest cinematic team in gaming company history. They pioneered a lot of technology in terms of cinematics, so all credit to them. But you have, and I'm not just talking about like the Man of Medan level where it's literally a movie that, you know, you do a couple quick time events and stuff like that.
Shaking it like Legends, bro. It's a Man of Medan quote. Until Dawn had "Let's party like porn stars," and Man of Medan had like "Let's kick it like Legends, bro," or something like that.
Kicking it like Legends, bro.
That's all I really remember about that game.
There's been built up this expectation that a game puts story and acting and all this first, and then the gameplay is an accessory to that. But that's completely the opposite of how a game should be structured and built from the ground up. The experience, the game mechanics, the core loop needs to be established first, and then the story is built around that mechanics, and the story is constrained by the limitations of the mechanics of your game loop, and not the other way around. Because so many games that are really good games, like let's say God of War, it's a great game. I have never finished it, but I know it's really well made and it's really well told story, and like the acting is great and the actual like cinematography is great. And then the gameplay is also good. You know what I mean? It's yeah. You talk about those other things first, and then the gameplay, which God of War, when you go back to the original one, the very first, which I played every God of War except the two new recent ones, even the PSP versions of the game itself in those games, was the basics of it was combat that is like Tetris style accelerating there. And God of War has that. It does have that, but it is 50-50 with the story. And that's a balance I can accept, but it creates this expectation for the game developer where the expectation to create that cinematic experience is so high. And then they have to be like, well, we got to raise up the game to this. And when it succeeds, those meet. And it succeeds with that game. A lot of games don't succeed because they can't pull the game up to meet the story that they're trying to make at the same time. So I'm not saying story is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying cinematography is bad. I'm saying like putting that first is one of the core problems of gaming today.
Diablo 4 arguably did that when it launched, playing through the campaign was fun. The story was interesting. The cinematics were fantastic. And then you got to like level 50 out of 100, which they've changed the way leveling works now. So they have renovated that a bit, but you got to like level 50. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, we finished the story. What is there to do now? I need to get my glyphs leveled up. So let's go run some nightmare dungeons to level glyphs. There's one boss that doesn't give you any rewards. You get achievement for beating her, but that's it. So I'll just level up my glyphs so that I can run more nightmare dungeons to level up glyphs. What is this, the mid game, the end game? It's all of it. What do you mean it's all of it? And they've spent the first four or five whatever seasons since then adding mid and end game content because they had virtually none, and they've added, and like I said, it got to a point like a season ago where I was like, actually it's in a pretty good space right now. I'm really enjoying, I'm having fun, I want to play every season. I'm playing past getting to level 100, I'm playing multiple characters. And then something with the DLC coming out, I don't know that they really changed, I don't know what they changed, but it felt like they added more like grind and less reward feeling. It's like I didn't feel like I was getting as much bang for my buck. It was like I gotta do this. Like, I don't want a game to feel like a job. I want it to feel something like fun, rewarding. When it gets to be taxing to play, it loses me very quickly. And something about the DLC, again, great story, but the added stuff to do just felt like a chore that wasn't rewarding enough to make me want to do it. And it just hurts me because I want Diablo to succeed because I love Diablo's universe. I've played it since the 90s, and it's like, I don't want to see it fail. But man, are they trying their best to make it fail sometimes, it feels like. But I think you're spot on with that, and that's a good start.
Thank you.
How about you, Bob? What you got?
Yeah, I have deep thoughts too, and really really insightful things, just like Mark did.
You don't have to go that deep. We can just talk about simple.
No, I the cynical, the one thing I do think, then this is the cynical part of my take on this, I think, is they're a business. Video games more than ever are a business. It's a huge industry. It's been a growth industry for the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 10 years. Money people have realized gaming isn't just a thing that nerds do. It's a thing that they could use to make a lot of money. There's a ton of money in it. and people spend money on the thing, the games that they're invested in. And so I do feel like there's been, not that the golden age of gaming was in our youth, because I think everyone feels that about everything. Everything when you were a kid was the best version of whatever. But like, you could see in the way that things are designed, and not all games, but a lot of the popular games are designed to make sure that you log on every day, as opposed to make sure that you have some specific experience where it's like, this game, like, you know, Quake is about crazy arena shooter flying around. Quake has a distinct identity. It is Quake. Those are a thing. Halo has a pretty distinct identity. I feel like they've lost some of it as the modern Halo games. But the original Halo stuff, it had a very specific feel and identity. And like, they made it because they're trying to make that game. But like Fortnite, and I have nothing against Fortnite, I play Fortnite, it's very fun. It doesn't feel like it's a distinct thing. It feels like Fortnite, they're like, well, what's popular? Who's popular? Who can we work into this? What mechanics are popular? What do people like? How can we change the entire core of the game that we made to include and pander to whatever is currently popular? And again, I'm saying the like same thing. It's fun and it works, but it doesn't feel like they have some specific vision for what it is. It feels like the vision is, how the fuck do we get people to log on here and buy V-Bucks and buy the battle pass and finish the battle pass so that they're on for 6+ hours a day, 7 days a week for the rest of their existence? And it is fun. And it works. I'm not even saying that I'm immune to being sucked in by that. There are mobile games that I play. Fortnite, I play not a lot, but a little bit, because it's like, oh, that's cool. I want to go see the skin. They have Snoop Dogg season or whatever. Like, that feels like it's taking over to me. More and more stuff exists and is dominating the market where the goal is like Call of Duty. I played Black Ops 6 for the first time recently. Call of Duty has always kind of been, it changes. It has changed. There's been a shit ton of them and they all change. But the way the newest one feels, it feels like they were like, man, Fortnite's really successful. How do we just fucking, what if we just copy their menus and just jam all the Call of Duty looking shit into one thing? Because now Call of Duty isn't even a game. It's like a launcher where all the Call of Duty content that's playable is all in one place. And again, it works. People like it. I don't care for it as much as I used to, but it just feels like there's no, it's very money driven, and that makes everything feel kind of cheap. That makes me feel like it's hard to really want to get invested. I must have put months of my life into Call of Duty 4, and not because it's a gaming masterpiece, but because that satisfies a part of my gamer personality, which is like competitive, fun. It was consistent. It was something that I learned and got really good at. I have no reason to get that invested in modern Call of Duty stuff. Every new game feels like they were like, well, what? How can we make sure they have to buy more shit from this one because it's different from the last one? It works. People like it. But I think that's what makes everything feel kind of shallow and cheap in a lot of modern games, especially popular games.
That's fair. I mean, Call of Duty specifically, like I think college, late college, whatever year, Black Ops, Modern Warfare 2, and then Black Ops 2. I think those were the three I put the most time into. It's like I played them from the time they launched to when the next one came out and then so on and so forth. Like I played a shit ton of it. I cared about my kill death ratio and all that stuff. It was all like, dude, I just went 43-0 on jungle. Like, I'll never forget, like, my first time having a major kill streak and zero deaths. I did, like, 3 times ever where I had, like, 40-plus kills and no deaths. And I was like, oh, my average kill death was, like, 1.3. But those 43-0s, man. And then, like, lately, I played some of, I forget which Call of Duty it was that had, like, oh, God, what was the mode? It was their zombie mode, but their zombie mode was not the waves. It was, like, the open world, like, you go and do different tasks around, but, like, meanwhile, there's also zombies coming after you.
Was that Cold War?
It might have been. I wouldn't know by name, but, like, you had to go and extract when you were done, and you would, like, get your pack-a-punch machine around the map and so on and so forth, and there were, like, different zones where the zombies at the middle were the toughest and then less tough, and then the easy ones were the edge. I had fun with that mode, but, like, the actual multiplayer and stuff, like, I played through the story was fine. The multiplayer just, I've not cared for PvP in a long time, which makes me care very little about Call of Duty because they really just cater to that mode. It's all about their Battle Royale. They have, like, their Battle Royale, and they have their multiplayer PvP. I just don't care about that stuff anymore, so it's been hard for me to get into it. But yeah, not since high school or college have I really cared about a Call of Duty all that much outside of like a couple of zombie modes.
I know what's wrong with gaming. This is going to be a bold one. It's going to be very aggressive. I stand by every word that I'm going about to say. The gamers themselves.
Oh, it's our fault.
Not us. Not us. We're better. Oh, okay. We're better than this. I think that the gamers themselves don't realize how complicit they are in the choices that developers are making towards these games. There is something to be said about the loot boxes of the world and the exploitation of like gambling habits and the psychology of it that companies are trying to exploit very aggressively that should be made aware of. But at this point, people are aware of these things and they need to understand that there is a feedback between the pre-order hype that everyone tells people, don't pre-order. Why would you? There is no benefit towards it. Sometimes you get like a pre-order bonus and that's just because they're incentivizing you to give your money earlier. And if there's a bonus you really like, sure, why not? But you don't know if a game's good because every game nowadays releases too early. And the pre-orders are part of a cycle that leads to developers releasing games too early because they have your money. And the company that owns all these game companies now have a schedule of how they want and when they want to make money. They're like, we need to make money on October. Your game's coming out in October. Get those pre-order bonuses going because we want our money. And when the game comes out, they don't give a shit what happens afterwards. Money is the only thing that talks in this world. And the entire world of gaming has been infiltrated by money, just like what Bob was saying. But it's also on the responsibility of the gamers and the consumers themselves to consume responsibly and really, really think about what they are leaning into. Again, the gambling side of it and the loot box side and the actually being exploited side, that is difficult to break for a lot of people, but we all are aware of this now. And also, side note to the gamers being responsible to this, now more than ever is trend-based gaming. There's a lot of people that will play games because it is popular to play them, not even because they enjoy playing it. Part of it is our fault. This is where we're kind of part of it because we're content creators and streamers. We perpetuate this issue where there's like a certain attention to certain games. And a lot of times you'll get streamers, maybe not us, but they won't play a game unless they're paid to play it, or they won't play a game because they know they won't get viewership for it. And that is also part of the problem. I'm not saying there's a big single solution to it, but self-awareness is something that's easy to forget in a larger statistical average of population size, right? You look at a large thing, it's like, well, I'm just a piece of the pie. What I do doesn't matter, but it does. It always does. The individual matters and your actions as an individual matter. And especially our actions as influencers matter because even though I don't like the word influencer, there's no denying that what we do is influential to the people that watch us, and they will play the games that we play and they will copy the behavior that we exude and they will do what we do. And there are some bad, bad examples of people who do gaming content that are just shit people. And it's just, they're just terrible. And like
names?
Huh?
Can I drop some names?
Wade Barnes, Lord Minions, Minion 7 says.
Oh, I hate that guy.
Yeah, that guy. Oof. No, I'm just saying like individual responsibility in the gaming world is something that is dismissed out of hand.
Content creators and stuff's a whole nother ball game because like playing games, so just going with trends, like whenever you're making content and it's your job, it's hard not to, right? Because you have to jump on trends to get views, or you have to start trends or whatever else. But the influence side of like people playing games only for trends, I've kind of always wondered about that to some extent, because like Lethal Company, I'll actually play Lethal Company for fun with just with friends. Like we'll get together, we'll play Lethal Company, we just have a good time with it. Some games like Phasmophobia, I still play Phasmophobia from time to time on stream or like for YouTube videos. I enjoy playing it for content. That's not a game I really want to play outside of making content for it. I don't really like being scared unless it's with friends and typically viewers. I just don't care for being scared all that much. But Phasmophobia is a game I'm kind of surprised. Still gets updates, still gets love. I think it's popular. People play it, people stream it, people make videos on it, and that's fine. But there are just certain games like that, and that to me, in my mind, are like, these are good content making games, but are people buying these games to play them themselves? Like maybe some people, clearly they are. Some people enjoy playing it, but like, it's not a game I would play for fun outside of the fact that I think it's a great content game. It's fun to play that with friends and viewers and stuff. And that's not meant to be a knock on Phasmophobia or anything specifically. It's just one of those things where there's games like that where it's like, do people really play some games outside of just making content on them? And obviously content creators themselves don't. Like, I'm not talking about them specifically, but like viewers, it's like people out there play Phasmophobia and don't make content on it. Like you actually enjoy it, or certain games and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm fortunate. Like I think we're fortunate where we're in a position where we don't have to play the trend game. I did, you know, there was a time period, 2014, 2015, whatever. I remember Rust, 7 Days to Die. I was playing those before they got super popular, but even when they were getting popular, I was like, oh boy, more Rust and more 7 Days to Die. I like these games, but also they're popular. It's great for me. What a great trend to be on. There is a game to be played there, especially whenever you're struggling paycheck to paycheck kind of stuff with your job and ups and downs. We've all been there again.
Not me.
Never?
I've never been there. Always up. You should try it. Just don't go down.
One day. I have to look down at the peons beneath me.
Just don't look it down either. Just start pissing. That's all I do.
But it's just an interesting conversation. Your point, what is it? I wrote down stuff. Pre-orders, Legendary Edition, Deluxe Edition, the gotcha style stuff, Battle Passes, Early Access, all those things people pay extra money for, and a lot of games that just never get finished. You pay for all that stuff, and then the game flops, and you're just out of the money.
Can I ask a question? Is that where the word peons comes from? Because though they're the ones that you pee on, they are the peons. Is that where that comes from?
I'm glad you asked this. My minor was in linguistic studies. Yes, 100%. This is the origination.
Because it never occurred to me, but that just is perfect. It is. They're the ones that you pee on them.
Doing a very rough Google search, it looks like it's more based on Latin-based language, Spanish and Latin French words that basically go with ped, which is foot. So it's like foot soldier. Peons are foot soldiers.
Well, your dumb Google AI doesn't know what the hell it's talking about. I'm asking the real AI connected to the military equipment.
I was really hoping it would be like, yes, because kings used to pee on their subjects from their high castle walls. I was hoping that would be the truth.
No.
Its distractible root is yes, pee on. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring truth to our podcast. We can go back to peddling bullshit.
But we're talking about what's wrong with video games. They're too complicated. It's too many pixels. When I was a kid, if you were a good counter, you could count the number of polygons on the screen at any given moment. There was X number of polygons, and X was a number you could count to in a reasonable amount of time. No, honestly, I don't think this is a problem with games. I do feel bad for developers. The world of releasing a game now, in terms of what it's going to be played on hardware-wise, is just gotta be a fucking nightmare. 10, 15 years ago, when we were younger people, there were still a lot of things. There were a lot of different devices, and there were different configurations of computers. You would have different cards together, and there's just even more now. And it's so complex. I can't imagine how some people, especially small studios, put something out that works on your computer, my computer, someone's computer, which is 10 years older than ours. It's not a problem. There's not really a solution to it. But I do think the more complicated tech gets and computers get, and you have Steam Decks and you have the Asus Rogue Ally type things, and you have, and mobile gaming is also the biggest sector, I think, in the gaming market. There's just all this shit. I get why it's hard to make a game work across all kinds of different devices. I don't think there's an excuse for games like Battlefield having such terrible server support that you can't even play a match without like teleporting around and falling out of the earth. And like, that's a different thing, because they chose that. They run their software on their servers, and they're a big company, a AAA company. They could manage that. I do think it must be tough. I feel like I'm not answering the brief at all. This is not a problem that's wrong with gaming, but it must be really tough for smaller developers to deal with the infinite number of combinations of shit that your game may or may not be playable on. And that's your responsibility.
Well, that's fair.
Permission to hijack the podcast. I don't know how I forgot to talk about something that is going to be the next thing people meme about me for probably months.
Do we know about this? Is this new?
I bought something.
What did you buy, Mark?
Have you heard of Brazine?
Is that magazine for bros?
No, don't look it up. Don't look it up. All right. So this substance, to try to obtain this substance, my plan was to go on the Nigeria subreddit, try to befriend someone, and see if they could purchase me the ubly fruit. The ubly fruit is native to West Africa, some parts of Central Africa, and it is a sweet tasting fruit that is not for sale in America in any way, shape, or form.
Because it's dangerous? Illegal? Issues? There's a reason for this, or?
Just not for sale.
Okay.
In this fruit. Is a substance that has been named Brazine because the I told you this is worth hijacking this moment for. I can't believe I haven't talked about this. It's from the plant Pentadiplandra braziana bilon. This fruit from this plant contains a substance that has been named brazine, which is a sweet protein.
That sounds weird.
I know, right? It's super weird. A sweet protein that they say, let me pull up the article for brazine. It's found in the extracellular region in the pulp tissue surrounding the seeds with pentadin discovered in 1989. Brazine is the second sweet-tasting protein discovered within the ubli fruit. Like other sweet proteins, it is extremely sweet compared to commonly used sweeteners, 500 to 2,000 times sweeter than sucrose. The fruit tastes sweet to humans and monkeys and bonobos, but gorillas have mutations in their sweetness receptors, so they do not find brazine sweet and are not known to eat the fruit. Just so you know. So I went on a hunt to buy brazine because it's one of the only heat tolerable sweet proteins in existence. So you can bake with it, right? So you could make sweet cookies out of a protein that is sweet. It blows my mind.
Is brazine the actual name of the protein? Because I did look it up after you have been talking, and I'm seeing pentadin is the sweet-tasting protein?
There's two. So there's pentadin and brazine. I believe brazine is, well, maybe, I don't know, I barely looked this up before I started trying to befriend people in Nigeria, but I barely looked it up, and I was like, wow. So I bought a kilogram of it.
Oh my God.
Because that was the smallest.
Jesus Christ. You bought a key of brazine? Dude,
I bought a key of brazine.
He got a kilo. Dude, that's enough to distribute.
I bought it. That's a felony, man. A felony amount of brazine.
You're going to get arrested for trafficking, man. Jesus Christ. Trafficking with intent to distribute. God.
A kilogram costs $278.
Brazine is a sweet tasting pre.
It's a sweet tasting pre. Yeah, it is. But it's just like my brain doesn't comprehend that, because even artificial sweeteners, they're not proteins. They're just like, you know, chemicals that taste kind of sweet. But, you know, this is a protein, so it actually has calories. It's just that it's sweet. That's weird to me. So I bought it.
Did you get it yet?
No, it's shipping from China. You know, the fruit from Africa. I got to get it in before the tariffs come in, man, or else that brazine is going to be super expensive.
It's just a cube, a block that shows up of compressed white powder. It's just talcum powder on it, scratched out, handwritten in. Yeah, brazine, whatever.
They got a no questions from the FDA confirming the protein is safe for use in food and beverages. So why isn't it in the USA?
I don't know.
That was just March of this year, but apparently it's FDA approved.
Anyway, if anyone is listening to this from a country that grows the ubli fruit.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man. That's what this is about.
What do you mean?
Mark's just leveraging our show to get people to buy him things.
When you wreck your car driving 30 miles to get the ubli plant, call Mark. Let him know about your bumper buster.
That's not what it is.
So you can come on this podcast and give him his goddamn product.
No, no. I'm just curious. Aren't you guys curious about it?
I mean, as a diabetic person, I would be insanely curious about it. I'm surprised I haven't heard about this.
Yeah, because there's a brand that makes some chocolate about it with it. But those are also expensive. So I was just like, I wonder what it would taste like if I could get some.
This is a ridiculously outlandish thing to do. But $300 for a kilogram of the stuff, if it's a usable product, that's not actually terrible for something that is low, is an artificial sweetener, low glycemic response, and gives you protein when you consume it. Like, man. I have no idea. It's probably gross or something. Like, it probably tastes like sweet steak or something confusing, but
no, people say it tastes just like sugar.
That's crazy.
A kilogram of normal protein is between $20 and $30
for a rare thing. I think it'll probably come down in price. I'm sure that it'll become more common now that it's been said. And I know that there's probably people that are trying to grow the fruit over here, but I'll be like, hey, send me the seeds. I'll grow them. We'll start an ubly.
Mark's going to start a grow house with the solar panels.
The police are going to pull up. You got your pot plants out front that are legal now in most states. They're going to come inside, bust down the door, open up your closet. The halogen lights are on full display of your ubly plants.
I got dust in my mustache, my beard just white everywhere. Like,
Oh, you can't take my protein, man.
People that are naked with like the mask on, just like rolling up your protein for you.
That's ridiculous. So it literally has no glycemic effect, meaning it doesn't raise your blood sugar at all. It literally is the effect of eating protein, but getting the sweetness.
And that's why, because like right now, I think that's how I discovered, because I'm doing a like a mostly protein diet and I'm not really doing carbs. So I was like, I wonder what kind of sweeteners are. Found this. I'm all about it. Give me that shit. Bought it. Paid for it.
Can't speak to the veracity here, but apparently you can buy seeds for the oobly plant. And I have a website.
Where?
RarePalmSeeds.com.
RarePalmSeeds.com.
Yeah, my lovely, the fucking, when you Google something now and like the AI overview thing gives you info, I don't know how much I trust it, but it told me that.
It's out of stock.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Thanks, man.
Beautiful, out of stock.
Beautiful. Oh, the product code. That's the product code.
Oh, is that what that is? Oh,
it's the product code. Why BPPEBR? It's a product code.
Oh, okay, well, beautiful out of stock. Well, I didn't know why it was like beautiful that it was out of stock. I was very confused. It's like maybe they're really happy they're out of stock.
We're running out of combinations of letters. What do we call it, man? I don't know. Is that one taken? How many Y's are in that?
Oh, man. Anyway, so Bob, you get it. Like, this could be really cool.
I'm assuming there are reasons that this is not blown up immediately, but also this would be the hunt for sweeteners that do not actually affect your blood sugar is fascinating, because there was one that was, I think it's called erythritol. Very promising, except one of the warnings is don't consume it because it'll cause you to have strokes. It's not a high chance of having a stroke, but I think it was like a sports drink, that a new version of a sports drink came out that was like the zero sugar version. And I was like, oh, this is the most delicious one I've had. I drank the whole thing. And then I was like, what is that? Erythritol? Oh, strokes. Oh, I should probably not consume a lot of that or any more ever, I guess.
Is that the one that also dogs can't have because they'll die?
Maybe. I don't know, but yeah, that's the thing, right? Is all of the artificial sweeteners have either they have a downside or they taste weird. And it's like, yeah, you could deal with that. And also baking, the fact that the brazine is heat stable is a big deal, because it's really difficult to get the baking outcomes that you want with most in general current sugar substitute things. Even they make ones for baking. They mediumly work. And the protein still is going to be funky, because you're substituting sugar, which is hydroscopic and has its own qualities in the baking process, for a protein. But at least it's stable. So you could do other things to... Anyway, it's interesting. I'm surprised I haven't heard about this. This is something that I tend to pay attention to, things like this. So.
How's the plant pronounced? Is it Weebly? Oobly?
Herberter.
Oobly, O-U-B-L-I is what I see.
I'm hoping it's Weebly so I can make my Weebly board joke, which is like a Ouija board. But if it's not, then forget it.
Make it anyway, just in case. You might be right.
I just did. I hope it was fun. I had this whole thing. I was like, yeah, looking at this, the entire plant's very useful. You have the protein that you can use to have like the sugar, and even the outside of the fruits used to make Weebly boards for ghost hunting. And, you know, now I was like, well, it's probably not pronounced Weebly, so I better just ruin the joke ahead of time.
If you hadn't explained it, that would have totally worked.
Well, I think we've been saying Obly, but I, for some reason, my brain, I saw the O, I was like, Ouija board.
Anyway, anyone in a country that grows the Weebly fruit, give me some.
I was watching our Spotify Wrapped, and we have been viewed in 165 countries, I think it was.
Someone's got to have access to some of that.
There's a good chance one of those has an Oobly, Owbly, Wobly, Weebly.
To cover all the bases.
Or Pecadin. Peckerdick? What was it called?
Pentadin. Pentadin and Brazine are both in the Oobly print. They're from that plant. Both of those apparently are promising. I gotta buy some Pentadin.
Yeah, apparently this is one great fruit. We need to get those seeds. Nobody go to that website and buy seeds so Mark can get some.
Shit. You just crashed rarepalmseeds.com. Everyone was just like, oh, let's go see if Wibbly seeds are in stock for Mark.
And people can see the Ebber Bepper Pepper. Beautiful. Out of stock.
Do you have the Ebber Bepper Pepper fruit?
So that's what's wrong with video games.
Hey, we got to the bottom of it, everybody.
Not enough sweet protein.
Not enough good sugary proteins in video games.
Need more Studio Ghibli fruit.
You got to go to, where is this fruit located? West African.
Country of West African.
First isolated by the University of Wisconsin. So apparently Wisconsin's down in West Africa taking all the oobly.
Go Badgers!
Actually, no. Fuck them.
Oh. Boo Badger, what? Football? Basketball or something?
Yeah, they stole UC's coach.
Oh, right. Okay.
Anytime someone poaches our coach, I root for nothing but the worst for them. And they're having a really bad season, so I feel vindicated. Like Brian Kelly, I'll never root for that man again after he left us.
You got to really be a roach to go for the coach poach.
It never works out either. People leave UC after having great years and they collapse elsewhere they go. Even though Brian Kelly had a pretty good tenure at Notre Dame, but like, never won a championship. Could have with us.
Definitely wouldn't have.
We were the only non-conference to make the playoff, and it was only four teams. Anyway, no one watching cares about my sports knowledge.
I care.
Nah, no one cares.
Okay.
Mark, you're slightly making up for that lost point from using our viewers for products again.
Yeah, you're right.
But if it works.
I mean, hey, what's the point when you get what you want?
I'll split that kilo three ways with you guys.
Yeah, listen, Mark, if you get some seeds smuggled in to the country here, I will go in on you with you on a grow house here. We'll get that set up.
That's what's wrong with the government, man. They're sitting on all of our oobly seeds, using them for themselves.
All right, man.
Government! All right, anyway. Anything else about video games y'all want to talk about? We can just wrap this one up. I mean, we got some pretty good stuff in here.
Is it relevant at all that I know the bit is that we're getting older, but I think we're starting to actually age out of the market that they really target those video games at in terms of like product stuff. Are we just too old to like all the new things that are coming out? Is that the problem? Because I feel like we're like maybe on the fringe of it. Maybe we're not out of it, but I feel like 18 to 34 is the age range that I would imagine they're really trying to get involved and engaged with the gaming stuff.
The average age of a video gamer is apparently 35, so apparently it's right at where we're at.
Oh, okay, maybe that's not it.
I imagine the age range is going up because it's not like people who played games, gaming habits are, well, they're probably less because they have more responsibilities and other things to do, but they still love it and they have more money now. So, well, usually when you're growing older, you're usually earning a bit more. So you have more disposable income. Yeah, that's in an ideal world. In the world that we live in, a little bit different. But, you know, so they probably are still targeting us. We matter. We matter.
I don't know what this is. I don't know who gathered this data or how accurate it is. But
the government. Sorry.
According to this, in 2021, the age distribution of U.S. gamers, U.S. only, 20% were under the age of 18, 38% were between 18 and 34, 14% 35 to 44, 12 45 to 54, 9 55 to 64, 7 65 years and older.
I'm not a big math guy, but there's just no chance that that breakdown gives you an average age of 35 years old for the average video gamer.
Yeah, maybe they went with median for the average. I don't know.
I do think our generation, because we're kind of in the millennials, we are still like one of the bigger generations in terms of gross number of people. So maybe that's why we're still prominent in terms of the age. But yeah, that's skewed much younger than the average being 35.
58% are 34 or younger, but maybe they're on the higher end of like the 18 to 34, and therefore the other 42 adds up to like, I don't know.
Like I said, I'm not a big math guy. So I don't
know. I guess like 80 years old also bumps up the range rather for like, you know, 0 to 35. 80 is a bit higher on the end than 0 is from 35. Maybe that fucks it with it a little bit. I don't know. All those 100-year-old gamers out there.
Who knows? I'm not even saying that's a problem. I was just asking a question.
That was a good question. I had to look it up because, I mean, it's possible we're not the ones being marketed to.
Eventually, that's going to be the case. Eventually, we're going to be the old people yelling at clouds and everything is going to be made for people much younger than us. But maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we're still relevant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good idea there, Sonny.
Yes. Yes.
Well, let's wrap all this one up then, I think. Good show, good hijacking, good small talk.
Is this the same episode that we talked about underwear and socks in?
Yep.
Man, what a journey.
We have been. My episodes are always so focused and just, you know, on the money. Never wander. But this is a show called Distractible.
So you're really not living up to the name, man. You gotta unfocus. You gotta lock out.
You need to leave us some room to explore here. Give us some space.
Hey, I'm just here, dude. Mark, for no particular reason, I'm going to read your points first.
I've lost all hope.
You've got points for bold underwear opinion, open AI killer robots, segue, story first, game second is wrong, gamers themselves, trend-based gaming. I put the whole, like, money, pre-orders, legendary edition, all that stuff, I put all that as a point. Brazing? ? Bought a kilo, and you lost the point for using our viewers again. I got 4 points.
Oh my god, I'm gonna lose to Wade.
Two that are just points, and then kicking it like legends. Bob, you got points for warm pube, which I don't think is the parts. Warm parts.
Warm pube works.
Normal dick, mocking mark, socks, Call of Duty, business, however copy Fortnite. Too complicated. Tech disparity. We aren't the target anymore. And I don't know if I said peon, but peon. Bob, you got...
Just give it to him straight, man. Tell him his loss is...
9 points.
Oh, that's not a good number. That's too low.
Mark.
Oh, boy.
You had 11 minus 1, so you ended up with 10.
Finally! I mean, finally, you just hosted an episode.
I know, but I'm like, Thanos, give me a fantasy set. You know how he did it? You remember that?
I'm like the Hulk when he tries to use the gauntlet, and I'm all... And then I fail. And then I eat tacos. And I have tacos.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, hey, I came in third today. That's not bad.
For you, that's great.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Oh.
Loser speech?
Oh, that's me. If I get some good sock recommendations out of this, it was worth losing. And if anyone hooks us up with the oodly-boo fruit, what is it called?
Oobly? Weebly?
Weebly fruits? Seeds? That would be doubly worth it, because I need to, you know what I need to try? To try some Brazzy. I need to see for myself.
I should have just nixed the whole video game thing and turned this into our Christmas wish list from our viewers.
Anyone has any phone case recommendations you think are out there, toss those out too, but we've covered that.
Is it the new phone? Did you get the new one?
No, I have an iPhone 15 Pro. It's not the new one.
I thought you liked your case for that one.
I have 8 cases currently for this phone.
I thought you finally found one you really
like. I keep finding ones I really like. I'm on the second case I ever bought for this phone right now. I'm running back through the rotation, but it's an addiction. And I can't stop. And I will buy more if you tell me to buy them. So put it in the subreddit. Okay, I lose. Mark's turn.
I look forward to the moment that someone tells me that Oobly Fruit is going to make my spleen and testicles explode, but it will taste incredibly sweet before then, and I am willing to take that sacrifice and risk it all for the sake of a sweet protein. I looked up the amino acid profile. Has everything except for tryptophan and threonine, which sounds like a fake amino acid.
Did you 5D chess us? Have you been 5D chessing us for a while now? You just offered to have your testicles explode, your arm fall. We just did an episode where we replaced all of your fucking body parts, and now you're like, oh, this might take my body parts. Oh, no.
Yep. Anyway, it's got everything except threonine and tryptophan, and who needs those anyway? So, really cool protein. Almost complete. Almost complete. Just like me.
I'm Wade. That's Mark. That's Bob. Been a fun episode. I hope you all learned something about something today. Find Bob some socks, phone case, and find them both some oobly, whatever it's called. Stay tuned for the next one. Mark will host and probably ask you all for some more stuff. Until then, podcast out. Editors, play us out.
I don't think they usually include stuff that happens after the host says podcast out.
I never watched this far, so I don't know.
This might not ever make it. This might just be us.
Well.
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy other holidays.
Wow.